This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objective.
You're watching Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, and X as we talk East Carolina baseball. Land lies the previous week while also taking a look at what lies ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
What is going on, Pirate Nation? Welcome in to Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com here on The Sports Objective. Pirates sweep the Rice Owls, take care of business, win their fifth straight American Athletic Conference regular season title. And over the next 45 minutes to an hour, we'll take a look back at that and what lies ahead in Clearwater and a whole lot more. And as you see now on the screen, very excited to be joined by the ESPN Plus color analyst for East Carolina baseball. And that's, of course, Mike Mullis. Mully, welcome in.
Hey, Mully, how are you?
Doing well. We appreciate your time this evening. Quite the week for the Pirates, and bouncing back from the program's longest losing streak in 7 years, five games. And it was what you would expect to see under those circumstances. And the Pirates winners 8-2, 15-8, and then 6-4. And in that 6-4 victory, faced a deficit there in the middle innings, in the bottom of the sixth, but found a way to get it done. And what was your overall take on the week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you hear Cliff say so many times, and any of us that have been around it at all know that college baseball games are hard to win. And they did a nice job with Rice. Quite frankly, I thought this was not your daddy's Rice team. This was not a Coach Graham led type club that went to so many World Series. They were a little slight in places, but I think the Pirates did what they had to do and had some shots in the arm along the way, which is obviously a good thing this time of the year. But I mean, it's a good week. All in all, man, that's what it's all about at this time of the year, is winning ball games. I think probably the biggest deal of the week is not having had to play any midweek, and just kind of obviously with the schedule moved up to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was pure focus on what, the job at hand was. And, going into that series, East Carolina knew that UTSA was kind of snipping at the heels, and you got a Rice team coming in that's kind of a wounded animal that knows that they've got to have a win to guarantee that they would get in the conference tournament. So, a lot to play for all weekend, and the conference championship comes down to the final game on Sunday, and Pirates took care of business, man. It's kind of funny. People talk about baseball being too long, but even if it's in the major league level where it's 162 games, we still see, single game play-ins or having the past single game play-ins, things like that, that it ends up dictating what the postseason looks like. So yeah, all in all, a productive week, for the Pirates.
Really was, and we'll look at it from a variety of angles, but with the absence of three of your top arms, obviously Jake Hunter's done for the season, and we've known that for a few weeks now since out at Memphis. But then you're also working without Wyatt Lunsford-Schenkman as well as Zach Root, and you kind of alluded there with the cancellation of that Campbell game, and neither the Pirates or Camels were probably too disappointed that that game could not be played under the circumstances. And you had guys, Ethan Orby continued to pitch well. Chris Kaler had perhaps, especially under the circumstances in game three of the series, the best outing of his Pirate career, and definitely one of them. Danny Beal did Danny Beal things. Colby Wallace emerged onto the scene. We knew his potential on the mound, and we saw it.
Yeah, look, and I going back to Kaler, Caleb was really good. And you know, the challenge you're left with the Pirates staff right now is, other than Trey Savage, Danny Bill, potentially Norby, you have a bunch of guys that are kind of one-time through the lineup guys that you it becomes a little uncomfortable when, you know, college hitters see them twice. So, you know, it's going to be a little mix and match. You know, the innings that Colby Wallace was able to burn up kind of out of the pen and, you know, out of nowhere was a big deal. You didn't have to go to Danny Bill. You didn't have to go to, you know, any one of these other guys. And again, Caleb comes in, gives you three innings of no-hit baseball and turns it over to Danny Bill, who, man, Riley Johnson has been a huge part of this team. Carter Cunningham has been a huge part of this team. But, man, if you take Danny Bill out of the mix and, you know, if he's not doing what he's done all year, I don't even know where this club would be right now. So he's been a huge part of their success. And it is the entirety of what we've seen this year is kind of a sum of the parts. And it's been pretty special to watch Danny. I mean, I talked to him last week and I was like, look, man, what you're doing is super old school, coming off of nine innings over three games at Tulane. It's just incredible the fact that he can keep taking the ball going out there and, you know, largely getting guys out. And again, he'll tell you, I mean, he's thrown pitches he wish he had back, but who doesn't? He's been a huge difference for that Pirate pitching staff.
Yeah, very much like the performances you saw over the last few years with the likes of Matt Bridges, Cam Colmore, those names come to mind. Davis Kirkpatrick and guys that just, you know, got the ball time and again throughout their senior seasons.
Yeah, it's something to be said for a guy that'll take the ball more over a guy that wants the ball. And, you know, it's kind of the Sunday outing down there was heroic when, you know, he's thrown Friday, Saturday, he being Danny, and says, hey, you know, sends Coach Knight a message and says, hey, I'm good if you need me. I know, you know, we got in his terms, I don't think he'd mind me sharing this. He said, Molly, I literally just kind of had to turn my brain off and not worry about how I felt, but do what my team needed me to do. And that's something that, you know, you put up on a poster, you put it on the wall in the weight room or put it in the locker room. But at the end of the day, for somebody to go out and live it the way he has is beyond special. It's truly exceptional. And I think it says so much about the culture of the program, you know, at East Carolina, what Cliff's built.
What's it up? Definitely does. And Dave Richmond joins us now. And you know, Dave, Mully and I were just talking about, you know, with the absence of three of our top arms, you know, the way guys like, obviously, Danny Bill, but then Chris Kaler, Jackson DiLorenzo. We saw Colby Wallace, Ethan Norby continue to pitch well. And that's what, obviously, without guys like Lunsford Schenkman and Zach Root, we had to have.
No doubt. Mully, one of the questions I have, because you're familiar with it and obviously know more about it than I ever will, is arm soreness. There's been a lot of talk about the fans, you know, like look, guys probably could have come in. And I'm going, those guys, if they could come in, they would have already been in. I think it's not that they're worried about NIL. They're not worried about the next level, meaning the major leagues or minor leagues. They're just not ready to pitch right now, right? That's my gut feeling.
Yeah, I guess you're referring to Lunsford, Schenkman, and Root specifically when right. You're saying that. I'll be honest with you, Dave. I think there are a lot of moving parts there with those guys, and obviously their health is paramount to Coach Godwin's staff. You got to remember, you know, the last thing Coach Godwin wants to do or Austin Knight wants to do is run a guy out there that's not capable of helping the team. Secondly, run a guy out there that ends up with a catastrophic injury. Right. And what that does to your program going forward, you know, if the reputation were to be that you know, and arms were being damaged at the peril of the kid, it makes it tough to bring arms in, right? It makes it tough to recruit pitchers. Right. So I think they're having to be overly cautious. I do think that there's probably a little more to it than maybe we know. And I don't base that off of anything other than just a gut feeling and kind of maybe a lifetime of being in this game. But I think it's very, very difficult for any fans or any of us that aren't in the locker room, that aren't part of the coaching staff, and our names are not Wyatt Lumsford, Sheetman, and Zach Root. I think those guys are the ones that know what's going on, and those decisions will have to be made, again, in that closed circle. And we as fans have to cheer for who's out there and recognize that there's still a lot of opportunity to do some special things.
Now, over the course of the season, and the Pirate offense has been very productive. However, during that five-game losing streak, with the exception of the series finale against Tulane, but this weekend looked more like the ECU offense that you would expect to see. And what about Jacob Jenkins-Cowart? 7 out of 14, 3 home runs. And now Jacob had a heck of a year, but he had hit 9 home runs, so not quite as many home runs as you thought you may see, but definitely kind of made up for it this weekend.
Well, it's kind of funny to be people. I've heard people say, and I've had people come up to me and say, man, Jenkins Coward's been down. And I'm like, he ended up with 72 RBIs, something like that. He broke the record set by more than last year. He's been exceptional. And the thing with JC is we look at it, and again, I'd say this if you were sitting here, he's so aggressive at the plate. He's never seen a pitch he didn't like. I would equate him to like a Curry in basketball. Like, he's going to get out of the car swinging. These basketball guys, they're shooting in the parking lot. And JC, you go, man, if he would be a little more patient, but at the same time, his barrel consistency is incredible. He makes a lot of barrel contact.
No doubt. And he's a guy that is a big, big league hitter. And so he obviously Cliff is going to give him the green light when you don't want to hold a guy like that back. Right, Mully?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know that if you ask him to work counts and get deep and all these things, it's just not the style of game he plays. He's been a hitter his whole life. He's a guy that just hits. And he's going to go up and he's going to get his 3 swings off, and he's going to be extra aggressive. And when you make, when you make mistakes to him, like Rice did this past weekend, and look, I look back at their starter game one, Parker Smith, and man, the score doesn't indicate the job that kid did. The Pirates did a nice job of taking advantage of some opportunities and missed some opportunities. But, early in the outing, when he's kind of dotting that fastball down and in on lefties, and it's got enough arm side action to just grab the plate, so it kind of looks like it's going to hit you in the knee and then runs back, 3-4 inches for a strike. They got away from that. And when they started kind of letting Jenkins Coward and some of these other guys get their arms extended and, catching too much of the white part of the plate, the Pirate hitters made him pay for it. So, Parker Smith, that's the thing. You turn around and you look at Tuesday and you're like, all right, who do we face that day? And it's probably him again, and it's probably going to be him and their closer that we saw on Sunday, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, but Higginson, probably see those two guys. That's their guys. That's probably who you get on Tuesday. Again, I think we go with Norby is my guess. That's a tough assignment. That kid, Parker Smith, he's really good. He gave up 8 runs, but, man, he was super efficient. He went deep in the outing. He did not throw a ton of pitches. He's a good pitcher. He's a good arm. He really is. And I think the Pirates had a solid plan for him, did a nice job of staying out of rollover situations other than, a couple. Wilcox had rolled over one, and I think actually JC rolled over one for a hit. But when you got a guy that's pitching you down and in as left-handers, your whole focus is trying to stay inside that baseball and avoid those rollovers. And you saw the guys from where I was sitting. I could see them after the first time through there adjusting off the plate and making kind of in-flight adjustments. So they did a good job this past weekend for sure. It's – You got to face somebody. It's just ironic to me how many of the times you come out of the last regular season weekend and you turn around and play the same friggin' team, and Charlotte's in that boat and East Carolina's in that boat. So, I mean, it's, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be a dogfight. I feel confident. And, if, you know, we don't have to look back far. Remember last year you saw what Tulane did, and, you know, Tulane came in here and got hot and got to the conference tournament and went on a run. So, you know, those tournaments are always interesting.
You have some comments here on Facebook as well as YouTube Live. Definitely appreciate folks chiming in. Continue to do so throughout the show with your questions or your comments. Johnny Robertson saying JC batting in the second and third spots in the lineup has hit a home run in every 37 at-bats. Batting fourth and fifth, he has hit a home run in every 10.4 at-bats, and he's had an RBI in every 2.2 at-bats. He said, is it safe to say that we will see JC in the fifth spot the rest of the way?
No, nothing safe to say. Cliff Godwin's made
exactly.
Yeah, and it'll be, you know, Johnny does an amazing job with the stats, and everywhere I'm at, man, he pops up with some stuff that's just crazy. But, and kudos to him, man. I love it. It's information that, I mean, quite frankly, I don't know. I mean, I look at the game and see it for what it is. But in answer to the thought process of JC staying in that spot, you know, so many things go into making your lineup. And, you know, I swear to you guys, if people don't believe it, it could come down to watching BP that day and just going, man, I just got a hunch. I just got a gut feel. And, you know, and you've seen that through the year. I mean, you look back, there's been guys that hadn't played in, you know, hadn't in 10, 15 games, all of a sudden they're in a DH spot. You know, it just, you go with your gut a lot of times. And I don't think there's any guarantees with a Cliff Godwin lineup. I think the parts will be the same. Where they land in the lineup will be kind of on that, you know, kind of on that day.
Right. Like you're saying, down at Tulane, the Pirates were, as we've mentioned, struggling a bit. And Riley Johnson, despite that on base streak, you know, when Cliff moved him to the two hole, put Carter Cunningham in the leadoff spot. And then you had Luke Nowak, who had tripled in game two of that series. He was starting in left field.
Yeah, you know, and when you look at Riley, I think a lot of it is, you know, he gets banged up last weekend, then going in Friday, he's in the two spot behind Cunningham. And my speculation was that, you know, they were not sure if he were going to be able to get off a full swing. And you saw his first two ABs, he comes up and shows bunt attempts. And then, of course, in Riley Johnson fashion, gets hit by a pitch. And, you know, so it's like, all right, you know, what do we do? And he did not. He got off swings, but he did not get off big swings all week. And he had a super productive weekend, but it was a lot of really easy, almost Ichiro type swings. You know, guys that remember Ichiro Suzuki, where he just kind of barreled a ball. And, you know, and I tell kids at the high school level, college level, you know, these engineers that build these bats, they had a chance to go to work for NASA or Easton. And they chose Easton, and these bats are $500, and you know they're as expensive as they are for a reason. So use the technology, and I think Riley Johnson did an amazing job of that.
No doubt about it, Mully. In fact, we got some other people commenting. So you're a popular guy tonight. Alan Vick said, so good to see the guys respond. I have to laugh at all the naysayers when we were going through that 5-game losing streak. Is going to be fine. I do think we need to win a couple of games in Clearwater to solidify our position, but we are in great shape.
Yeah, I think he's right. I mean, I you know, you certainly don't want to go down there and lay an egg. And listen, no, y'all, people don't understand it. There's never been any contemplation of, hey, let's go down there, lay down. You remember, they go into the season, as every good team does, and you say, all right, these are things we want to do. And, you know, 40 wins and win the regular season and win the conference title and host the regional and host the Super. I mean, all those things are goals. And now I'm not going to fool anybody to thinking that I believe we're a shoe-in for a top eight. I don't think that's the case. I think there's, quite frankly, there's as good a chance that we're a top eight as there is that we're a two somewhere. But I think the truth is in the middle. I think we're probably, you know, a 12 to 14 kind of regional host, and that's fine. I mean, that, you know, it's about getting there. It's you know, hosting is great, and it's good for the community, and everybody here loves it. It'll be an incredible atmosphere, but it's not everything. And there's lots of teams. You know, I just heard a stat the other day. There's, I can't remember for the however many years, there's been a 3 or 4 seed in Omaha. So, I mean, it's, you know, coming out of a regional and having to play their way to it. So, look, man, I mean, I think that the comment is correct. Everything is just fine. But it is. I mean, look, we're all fooling ourselves if we don't say, man, I sure would love to be in this situation and have Zach Root, Lunster Sheetman, and Jake Hunter healthy. I mean, that's if you don't feel that way, you're lying to yourself and anybody else. But you take what you got, and these guys have done a great job, and they're in a position to be just fine.
Speaking of guys on the mound, we talked, 10 minutes ago about how Colby Wallace really stepped up in his first performance as a pitcher in a Pirate uniform. And Richard Alsbrook chimes in saying, Mully, if you would, talk a little bit more about that performance.
Colby Wallace by Colby. Special. And I had a chance to talk to the guys and brought up Colby Wallace. And Colby, I got a chance to see him play in high school. Colby Wallace was the kind of kid in high school, in the state championship, 2 doubles. They bring him off, bring him onto the mound, and he closes the game out with 3 strikeouts. But he is a gamer. He's a baseball player. Again, I can assure you this is not a matter of trying to outsmart anybody or, anything of the like. It's the fact that, hey, they finally saw what they needed to see to feel like he was a guy that gave them a chance. All of a sudden you go, look, he's better than what we have down there, so we got to run him out there. So Colby Wallace was really, really good the other night. And he, I hope we see that again. And, he was pumped. He is competitive. He's going to go out there and give you everything he's got. But it's one of those deals where, Coach Palumbo said, he goes, people all over the country think we're idiots now for not having thrown him. But the reality is he's, we hadn't seen what we saw that, in game action. We hadn't seen that leading up to that. So, yeah, Colby Wallace has definitely got a chance to be the shot in the arm that this club needs.
Josh Thomas saying, Mully, will you be on the call during the regional? If so, I've got a tray of barbecue headed y'all's way.
I tell you what, dude, I don't know.
That's spoiled, y'all.
And Dave, if you guys saw, but, man, that crowd, man, the unfortunate part is kind of like everything else. We waited till the last weekend of the year to start getting the Jungle Uber deliveries up to the – or Jungle DoorDash up to the press box, man. But 2 fantastic meals. Look, the pork was great. Don't get me wrong. The pork was great. But I have really been bragging about that Low Country Bowl. It's outstanding. But as of right now, I've not gotten any calls about doing the regional for ESPN. They kind of bring in their own folks, which – it's kind of a topic for another day, but I have, as long as we host, from my understanding, I will be with Scooter on radio because obviously Coach O is a site supervisor or, whatever his exact site coordinator. It'll be Scooter and I, and I promise you, we'd love to have it as well.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, that low country bowl looked fantastic, and there you go for our viewers who don't know what we're talking about. That was the spread out in the left field jungle with Jared Plummer, Josh Thomas, Brian Dilday, and crew.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, look, and it was sneaky spicy. Like I jump into the sausage and I'm like, man, this is freaking awesome. And we're on the air and I take a bite and I'm like, obviously I don't have a whole lot of protection up here. And I'm like, man, this, and next thing I look and I just have sweat pouring down my head. And it wasn't that it was crazy hot, but it was that back end spice. So, man, it was awesome. Really, really good stuff. And there's not a better fan base. And look, they so much love the team and love everything about it. And then to, show us some love where we don't deserve it, but we sure do appreciate it. And I know my partner, Evan Budrovich, was very appreciative. And yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. My dad, he's a big fan of the Low Country Bowl. And cooks it several times a year. And so I'm used to hearing him talk about how he likes that extra kick. And then my mom complaining.
Yeah, it's hard to please everybody, but I'm going to tell you, those two dinners we had in the jungle were freaking fantastic. They were awesome.
No doubt. Great atmosphere. And we also had a question from Robert Matthews. He wants to know, Mully, what do y'all think about a player making a mistake and being taken out? To me, it would be hard to play looking over my shoulder and walking on pins and needles.
I hear what Robert's saying, and I will tell you that there was more to that than the misplayed ball. There's Bristol plays hard, and Bristol, he's there's some wear and tear there, and so I would warn everybody, not anything that we see as fans, or even when I'm up there calling the game, we can only judge on what we think we see, and then we start trying to put our own scenario together. And in reality, we just don't know all the moving parts. So I would say, don't read too much into that. I would say everything's going to be just fine as it relates to Bristol Carter, as it relates to there are no issues. And I do agree, you don't want to play under the pressure of, if I mess up, I come out. At the same time, as a coach, you have to drive accountability for decision-making. And sometimes, you have to be demonstrative with, every whether you're raising kids or coaching a ball team, every decision has a, has a result. And sometimes you got to drive home that point. So I wouldn't read too much into that. Just from what I know of it, I can confidently tell you it was not solely based on a misread. There's a lot of moving parts there. Nothing to freak out about. It's all going to be just fine. And I would feel fairly confident that as long as Bristol Carter's healthy and everything's as it should be, you'll see him right back in the lineup Tuesday.
Mully, one question I have. We were talking about Root and obviously Lunsford and Shinkman, but do you think those two guys, do they get any kind of innings, any kind of work in the conference tournament?
Dave, I don't know. I'm not on the staff, and I know that's a non-answer, but it's the only answer I have. I think there are a lot of moving parts that they have to figure out before the decision's made for them to go out. Obviously, we've seen loss for Shane, man. We've not seen Root since, the last time he threw. We have seen loss for Sheepman go out. It clearly wasn't the loss for Sheepman that we all know and love and hope to see go out. But, I think it's going to be a kind of a test of time here. We're just going to have to sit back and wait and just see how it shakes. I don't have an answer for you. I know that is the desire, but again, a lot of things have to happen, to get them back out there.
And I would imagine that that's going to be like what you said with the batters, also with the lineup. It's a situation that is a game time decision, right? It's going to come down to that kind of situation. And also, if this pitching staff continues to pitch very well, then you can kind of, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do you want to wait till a regional to put them back in there? Or is that
no, you want, as soon as they're healthy, capable, and all the boxes are checked, you want them back out there.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they make your team better, but it's a matter of getting all those boxes checked. And I think they're a little ways away from that just yet, but I think just be patient and we'll see how it shakes. Obviously, everybody would love to see him out there. And again, my speculation that Norby goes Tuesday is just kind of an educated guess. But would it surprise me if all of a sudden Zach Root's healthy enough to go and they feel good and they roll him out there for a couple innings? And look, I've seen him play toss a couple times and it looks like he's close. But again, there are a number of moving parts.
When you take a look at this Pirate offense, I mean, it's so well-rounded and, two-strike hitting, backside hitting. Todd Howe chiming in says, Mully, I know you've spent a lot of time coaching and working with players on hitting the ball well to all fields. Talk about the effectiveness of our backside hitting with our left-handed dominant lineup.
Look, and Todd Howe locks in and watches every game just about the same place I am. He's just right in front of me, and I see him every day as I'm leaving the press box. So he sees the same angles I do. And, look, I think it goes back. The best answer to that is what was Rice's philosophy coming in against the left-handers, bury him down and in. Historically and typically, a left-hander's sweet spot is down and in. So you really don't want to typically pitch left-handers down there. That's kind of a bat path. But they those guys, man, and I say it just about every broadcast, especially with Carter Cunningham, I'm like, look, when you see him driving the ball the other way, you know that it's going to be a good day. And he's hit balls at the third baseman, maybe in a little modified shift, as hard as any right-hander could hit him on the pull side. So when you start to see those things and you look at the year Cunningham's having, and remember, as a hitting coach, it's not, you're not trying to take these guys and make them inside out punch and Judy's. What you're trying to do is it's a bat path feel. It's, I got to fill the zone up. And the way I do that is stay connected and inside the baseball. When you start seeing guys, and if you'll think back, everybody who really pays attention to Justin Wilcox at early in the season, where he was just really, really pulling a bunch of rollover ground balls foul. And, you know, that's a scary sight because you're like, man, he's got a long ways to go. And all of a sudden he spreads out, kind of goes no stride, starts saying inside the baseball, driving the ball the other way. But there's so many things. I'll tell you other keys, like when two strike counts, when you see our hitters fouling balls off the other way, that means they're seeing them deep. They're letting that breaking ball travel. They are truly almost in a thought process of trying to get jammed to see that baseball deep and stay inside of it. And the longer we stay inside of it, the longer we stay closed up front, the longer the bat stays in the zone.
Great question there. Obviously, Bubba, I know that next up, Molly, we're going to do our PGX Gloves Players of the Game, right? Or Player of the Week, rather.
Yeah, we'll get to the PGX players in just a moment. I did have one more question. This is something we've discussed throughout the year and really, you know, throughout the Cliff Godwin era, that we get asked about a lot, and that it's a topic of much discussion, just people having different philosophies, you know, from a coach's perspective, and then obviously someone who, you know, follows this program very closely. Talk about the way we go about things offensively with the fake bunt and steals and, you know, suicides, safety squeezes, you know, all the things that we have in our offensive arsenal and how it affects you from a preparation standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Look, and so for every time I show bunt or every time I lay one down or every time I run up a squeeze with runners on second and third and I score both runners, all of a sudden those infielders have to creep and they have to protect the fact that this club will bunt. One out, two outs, no outs. They'll squeeze. We've seen Cliff squeeze with bases loaded. When you start doing those things, every foot they step forward opens 2 feet on each side of them, being the defenders. So you're limiting range. You're putting them in very uncomfortable positions. You're going against the grain largely. And I will tell you, this year early on and maybe even until – recently and kind of hit and miss game specific, but you didn't see the fake bunts as much. It's amazing to me. And I said the other day, the fake bunt on a take is still an effective distraction, at least as though it appears, because how many of those pitches are thrown for balls? So it's something that you just don't see anymore. You saw that when you were in Little League. And then here you are in college and you know, dude's up there kind of not necessarily waving the bat, but putting the bat out there. And, you know, so, I mean, it's all an effort to put the pressure on the defense. It's all an effort to make them get you out. I mean, it's what Cliff likes to do. I mean, and obviously folks, I mean, how well has it worked? And I can't imagine being on the other side of the field. You don't know. I mean, we saw 2-3-0 swings this week. And people don't like the 3-0 swing, and neither one of them worked out. Okay, neither one of them worked out. I get it. But I'll tell you what it did. It put in the mind of the team of Rice when we play them again on Tuesday that these guys will take swings 3-0. So what can't you do on 3-0? I can't serve up a cookie if I think the other team may have a chance to hit it out of the ballpark. So now that 3-0 pitch has to be a little better than it would have been. The effort to make that pitch better turns into ball four. So all these things, you got to remember, it's a collection of information. That's why analytics are critical. That's why all the – it's a collection of information that dictates the plan against you going forward. Think about it in football. If I run a dive, if I run a fake sweep, whatever, all those things go into the mind of the opposing team, and they go, we have to plan to defend that.
Exactly. You know, not everything's meant to be a touchdown. It's setting other things up. And I just love how versatile it makes us, you know, whether it's Joey Barini, Riley Johnson, Bristol Carter, or, you know, Justin Wilcoxon and Ryan McChrystal, you know, and JC, anybody in our lineup can lay it down a bunt when we need it. And whether it's bunting for a sacrifice and or suicide, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and look, if you don't go to practice, and I go to practice a lot, every chance I get, it might be for 10 minutes, it might be for 2 hours. I'll go to practice and I'll watch what these guys do. And I'm telling you, there are bunting stations, multiple. Pregame, they set up a bunting station over by the indoor. This is not a passive part of the offense. This is aggression through control. And it is, I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big part of what they do. And I don't look, sometimes we'd rather see the full run, you know, the grand slam. But man, when they laid the bunt down early in the year, scored a guy from second base on a squeeze, that's about as pretty as it gets to me. So I think it's awesome. I think we need more of it in the game. And quite frankly, you know, I'm helping out over at DH Conley, and we incorporate a lot of what we learn by watching East Carolina into what we do and how we teach the game.
Yeah, like you said, that was the thing of beauty with that runner scoring from second base. I believe both times we've done that this year, I just so happened to be there, and it was definitely electric.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. And you know what? Thank you, Bubba, for being there and making that happen.
Yeah.
It's all Bubba.
I just meant it from the standpoint of not about myself, but just the.
No, buddy, I'm just picking
at you. I know you're kidding. I know you're kidding, but just the way the crowd got fired up because of the reference you made to the home run.
Yeah, it fires everybody up. It's something you don't see every day, and it is. You think about it. If you're playing defense against that, and this, they just score two runs, it's demeaning. It's demeaning if you're the defense. It'll hurt your feelings.
And it's not something that you expect because it's kind of like old school baseball. You don't really see it anymore, so you're not really expecting it, right?
That's right. It's kind of like, see, you know, the two guys slide in the home plate. One goes left, one goes right behind each other. It's, you know, it's a cool thing.
No doubt about it. In fact, we're glad to have you, Mully, tonight. Let's do the PGXGloves.com pitcher of the week. No surprise, Bubba, who it is.
Yeah, Danny Beal, just clutch, picked up his sixth win of the season in that third game against Rice, four innings, did not allow a run, just two hits, six strikeouts, and no walks. What a gutsy performance by the Pirates senior right-hander.
Yeah, he is definitely one of those guys. When he's dealing, you definitely want him out there. A great job by him, and obviously – we're going to need him down the stretch here with the conference tournament regional and hopefully super regional in Omaha. And Bubba, what about pitcher of the week?
Well, yeah, the player of the week, Jacob Jenkins Cowart, 7 out of 14, 3 home runs, 11 runs batted in, had that 4-hit game in game one of the doubleheader, two homers, and then the homer that allowed us to walk him off and run rule him in the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah, in fact, he was announced today as the Mully. I saw that the player of the week. No surprise there for the conference for AAC this afternoon, which we all expected. So congratulations to JC. He's the final player of the week for the conference.
Yeah, who else would it have been, right?
Exactly.
I think he's your player of the week, and I would be very, very surprised if Carter Cunningham isn't the player of the year in the conference. It's been a really good year.
Another guy that's really stepped up of late is J-Dub, really swinging a hot bat. He's up to, 14 home runs now?
Mm-hmm. Yep. There was Rydell comes in from Rice leading the league, and we really thought Rydell may lead in second place. But, yeah, I mean, he's Wilcox is the kind of guy, he gets it going. He'll hit him in kind of baskets, and, he's three or four at a time over a weekend, and we've seen him do that a couple of times. So, yeah, there's been some lulls in the offense, but for the most part, stem to stern, the offense has been extremely consistent.
Mully, as far as your catcher, the catching position, very strong this year. What are your thoughts on it's great to have one, especially now that you're in conference, regional, super regional, and hopefully Omaha. You've got two great guys that you can put in there, so you don't have to put too much pressure on one guy.
Yeah, I know it's a big deal. It gets you a little rest when when guys need it. And, they got three guys. I mean, the freshman catcher, and I'm drawing a blank on his name,
Walker Barron.
Walker Barron, he's a good player. So, I mean, we've seen him DH this year. So, yeah, there's some depth behind the plate. And, it's with McChrystal's back, and, he's not had major issues this year, but obviously last year was a part of the story, which put Wilcoxon back there more than maybe they wanted him. They're good. They're good behind the plate, really. I mean, again, we get those occasional lapses from Wilcoxon, and we'll see things that will frustrate you. But at the same time, 95% of the time, he's pretty good. And it becomes easier to stay a little more focused as things become a little more important as well.
Robert Matthews chiming in on Facebook said, other than gamesmanship, what would the Rice coach be looking for with the ECU bat?
Robert, that was exactly what I said on the air. I said, I guess this is some gamesmanship. I'm not real sure. And, Cruz is a big league guy, and you gotta remember that. So, you had the tag situation on the bunt when the Pirates are up 10 or whatever, and just hit a home run, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been Nowak comes up and lays one down, and they tag him out fairly aggressively, and a little chirping ensues. That, if you're in the big leagues, and really at a lot of levels of baseball, bunting up 10 right after a home run is probably going to, stir the hornet's nest a little bit. So I think that was just gamesmanship's all I could think of. Those games, I get there really early before games, and I watch Blake Hardegree and then the staff of the opposing team run the rings over the bats, check for everything. I mean, I watch them do it. All those bats are checked so regularly. And by the way, with Blake Hardegree leaving, what a big loss to the Pirate program. What a great guy, and what a huge asset he's been. And man, I don't know what his plans are, but I have certainly enjoyed every interaction I've ever had with that young man.
Great guy.
So Johnny Robertson and Johnny Stats coming through again in regards to the lineups and never knowing how Cliff will fill out that lineup card. He says, speaking of nobody knowing what Cliff will do, in 53 games, the Pirates have had 36 different combinations, 36 different batting orders.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. But that's the difference in having Cunningham leading off and Riley Johnson in a two spot, and then you flip them, and then maybe you move Dixon Williams from 8 to 6, and maybe, so it's the same. It's largely the same parts, just in different orders.
And also the guys are so strong 1 through 9, Mully, that you can be more flexible, right? Where, that's not just the first four guys there from start to finish. Each one of those guys can hit.
Yeah, it's a solid lineup. I mean, it's a solid lineup. And, and I will tell you, going back to the bunting thing, that's one thing that does give you, when you get the guys that may be, when you're facing big arms, and I'm talking like, the Paul Skeens arms of the world, when you start looking at arms like that and you're like, hey, I don't know if we can get off good swings against him, but we could certainly play the small game. And you think back to the success we had, you know, in 21 and in the Texas Super. I mean, that was a big part of the game. So, yeah, top to bottom, those guys are going to be able to do something that's going to, you know, be able to impact the game.
Exactly. Built for postseason success against those top flight arms. And then, you know, when the Pirates do bust that door down to Omaha, be it this year or in the future, you know, and Charles Schwab Field there in Omaha isn't exactly an offensive park. So that will play to the Pirates' advantage there as well.
Sure. And it's, you know, it's about winning games today, but also knowing what you got to do down the line. So.
So, one more comment here before we take a look at the bracket, as far as how things will look beginning Tuesday in Clearwater. Richard Osbrook said, good news. We will not get negative seven RPI points playing Rice in the tourney because it's a neutral site.
Yeah. And look, that's, you know, there's more than the RPI. I mean, obviously strength of schedule and wins and losses and all those things. And I know the RPI factors a lot of that in as well. Look, we can't do anything about the conference. I mean, the conference is, it's been well noted that it's not the strongest baseball conference in the world. And right now, the according to Warren Nolan, they're at the 10 ELO, which is, I like his ELO, which factors lots of things in, but, 10th conference in the country. And, but it is what it is. I mean, you can only beat who you play. And, that's certainly a good part of it being at a neutral site is that it doesn't beat you up quite as bad.
And also, Mully DeVac, speaking of strength of schedule, Cliff had a very strong, as he always does, non-conference schedule. So does that help? I mean, it seems like that would help us.
Sure. You know, when you look at, you know, best laid plans of mice and men, if that Campbell game were to be played, that was going to be a tier three game because of all the moving parts of where Campbell is and that being a home game. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, he's got the magic calculator, the magic abacus that he can pull out these schedules that are challenging. They are exciting for the fans. They are largely in their regional based as it relates to the midweek stuff and then even some non-conference weekends. So he does a great job. And look at Columbia. I mean, everybody was cheering for Columbia from East Carolina, and they end up getting upset, I think, by what Princeton in the Ivy League, which doesn't have a conference tournament. So, and that's probably a single bid league, but Columbia had a good year. And, you know, all these things go to add up. And, you know, there's some talk about some adjustment being made next year to the RPI and figuring out how they're going to weight different things. So, again, man, show up and play. Whoever's across the field, do the best you can. But he has done an amazing job, Cliff, that is, of balancing out that schedule.
Yeah, that Columbia outcome I was surprised by because I guess it was probably a couple weeks ago I'd seen a tweet from Kyle Peterson, you know, who obviously followed things very closely, congratulating Columbia on winning the Ivy League and making the tournament. And then someone shared that with me about them losing to Princeton. So I had to do a little homework there.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's day two of the game.
So, taking a look at the bracket down in Clearwater, the Pirates will play the second game on Tuesday, 47 minutes after that 9 a.m. game, which is between 4th seed Wichita State and 5th seeded UAB. Pirates, as we've already mentioned, taking on once again for the 4th consecutive game, the 8th seeded Rice Owls, who benefited from the loss that South Florida had to UAB because Rice had swept that series with the Bulls.
Yeah, and look, it's going to be an interesting opener again. Parker Smith, I'm sure Rice will roll him out there. He'll be on 4 days rest, 5 days rest. So, it'll be an interesting one. And it's just, you know, again, go beat the team across from you. And I don't think the Pirates necessarily have to win the conference tournament. I'd like to see them win at least two games. They win two games and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
And Mully, we know you got to run, but final thought or two as you take a look at this bracket and how things stack up.
I'll be honest with you guys. There's nobody in the conference is better than the Pirates. So it's kind of one of those things that I don't feel compelled one way or the other. It's the only team that can beat East Carolina in this tournament is East Carolina. So it's a matter of showing up, take care of the baseball. And coming off the weekend, that'd be the one thing I think, refocus. And if you look back at the losses that we've had, they have coincided with lackluster defensive showings. Now, we got away with it this weekend against Rice, but I think it's, you know, clean up the game and, play better, play Pirate baseball, and there's nothing in this tournament that, that should scare you.
Mully, thank you so much for the time. Obviously, we know that you've got to run and eat dinner. We appreciate you for all you did this year, obviously, with ESPN Plus. It was great. In fact, those of us had to work yesterday. I wanted to sneak out, but I knew I couldn't at work. I'm only 10 minutes from the ballpark. But anyway, thank you so much for everything, and look forward to hearing you and Scooter there. I guess it'll be for the regional.
Yeah, hopefully all that comes to pass, and we host, and it'll be Scooter and I. It'll be a lot of fun. And again, really appreciate you guys, appreciate all the fans and all the kind words. And, we just kind of, we do the best we can to keep everybody informed during the games. And, I'm not a media guy. I'm just an old baseball coach. So I know I probably don't say things exactly how they're supposed to be said, but I promise you, I enjoy doing it, and I have a passion for it, and look forward to the regionals.
And we look forward to also make sure that Josh Thomas and company out there in left field, they get those plates up to you, DoorDash style.
100%, and I will hope to visit out there with them, especially during the regional, where I should have a little time between games, depending on what my assignment is. But I'd love to go out and maybe enjoy a little pirate beverage with everybody live.
That would be great. Thank you, Mully. Appreciate you, man. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
See you later. All right, bye-bye. Appreciate Mike Mullis, as always. We've got a couple more minutes left here of the show. Thank you so much. A huge show tonight. Appreciate Bubba for all the people. We don't say that enough, that are tuning in. And whether you're tuning in live, archive, or our traditional podcast, we have that over at everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. Joined this week, Bubba, you have up on the screen for people listening, the 23 Club. That's part of a spinoff, if you will, from Team Boneyard, and that's the 23club.org. Folks, it's very simple. We know that you have a lot of bills. We know you have a lot on you. I'm raising two kids like Bubba is. I'm doing the $23 a month. For the 23 Club, Bubba, it's that easy. And like I told you earlier in a text early, Bubby, I realized I'm paying more for Netflix than I am for the 23 Club.
Yeah, and a correction on that website. That is just 23club.org, not the 23club.org. Okay. So 23club.org, really appreciate Mike Harrington and all the former players that make that a reality under the Team Boneyard hat. And we'll definitely... we'll have Mike Harrington on this week. Exchanged a few messages with him on Saturday evening, and he was excited about coming on, saying it was a great week to do it, with a play taking place or beginning down in Clearwater. Absolutely. And, his work schedule was a little lighter this week, so a great time to do it, and said we'd get the message out there more about the 23 Club, and again, 23club.org, if you would like to join and support NIL for ECU baseball. And remember, folks, 11.7, that's the key number here, because yes, NIL is important, very important in football and men's basketball, but in baseball, Coach Godwin and staff are working with 11.7 scholarships. And think about how ridiculous it is, because of that rule, that over the last few years, you've heard of guys like a Bryson Worrell, I think Justin Wilcoxon, but prominent players on this Pirates roster or rosters of the past that have not been getting anything or very much of anything because of the 11.7, and that combined with the impact of COVID. So make a contribution to the 23 Club, and my goal for that, and I think, Mike Harrington and folks, and we'll talk about this when he's on the show this week, just you know, raising $750,000 or $1 million. Obviously, we want to raise as much as we can, but at least raise enough to where, you know, I think an out-of-state scholarship, last I checked, was $21,000 or $22,000. So raise enough money where, let's say, an out-of-state guy is getting 30%. So that other 70%, you know, which would come out to be about $15,000, that we can pay him that $15,000. And sure, he can spend the money how he wants, but in essence, he's receiving a full ride.
That's what I was going to say, Bubba. Great point there, because we need to $23 a month. That's a couple drive-through meals, if you will, you know, fast food. That's a few Starbucks trips. I mean, $23 a month is next to nothing. And I know that we all have priorities in our life and our lives, like church and obviously our family, but $23 a month will not hurt you. And think about all the great Pirate fans out there if they gave $23 a month. But I'm not going to talk. We could talk for hours on that. Another thing to talk about, Bubba, is obviously Pirates Unite is going very strong. I know that you've given myself and Kyle to the Pirates Unite because of baseball. I've given to all the different ones, but baseball I put an emphasis on because we are less than $1 million. I checked again, Bubba, less than $1 million away. I don't know the exact number. I haven't been told the exact number. Maybe you know. But we are less than $1 million away, and we will have the baseball expansion project funded. And you know what? It'll be in the next couple of years that we will have that expansion and more players, too, to not only with the NIL, but the expansion.
Yeah. The price tag of that building, the baseball ops building that will also have a veranda and a premium area for Pirate Nation. Long overdue for a lot of those items, you know, better locker room for the players, a professional locker room for guys like Burley, Gavin Williams, et cetera, that come home and obviously they look, many of those guys look at Greenville as their all season home, and it'd be nice to have a first class professional locker room. And we're going to have that in the relatively near future. Hopefully we can begin construction on that later this calendar year, at the very least early in 2025.
No doubt. And the indoor practice facility, less than around $3 million or less. So go ahead and make sure you give to the Pirate Club. It's 1-800. Well, the tickets office is 1-800-DAL-ECU, but it's 752-737 is 4540, I believe, for the Pirate Club, right, Bubba?
Yeah, that's correct, and we'll put it on the screen here for folks that are watching. Again, 252-737-4540, or simply go online to ecupirateclub.com to make your donation. And kind of shifting gears a bit before we wrap things up to promote some upcoming content and get out of here. But season ticket sales going very well, essentially the same pace as they were in 2023.
Which is big.
Yep. Obviously, that big home game with App State, you know, the second home game of the season. And Pirates, of course, open with Norfolk State there the final weekend of August. But make sure you get those season tickets if you've not already done so. We've sold between 12,000 and 12,100 thus far. Last year, we finished up about 15,300 or 400. So let's beat that number. And push for 16,000 at least. And as far as some upcoming content, tomorrow night's obviously Monday night. So with that being the case, you'll hear from Jeff Connors, the former Pirate strength and conditioning coach and strength and conditioning Hall of Famer. Will be joined by former defensive lineman for the Pirates, and a guy that won two Super Bowls, now doing great things in the music business down in Atlanta. I believe it's Wow Tunes is the name of his business, but it's Walter Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Big Walter Scott, defensive lineman from the mid-90s, those Liberty Bowl teams under Coach Logan will join, or this was recorded a few days ago, but we'll play that back on Monday night. And as I mentioned, we'll have Mike Harrington from the 23 Club, ECU Baseball's NIL organization under the Team Boneyard hat. He'll probably be on the show we'll see Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll certainly schedule that around the Pirates in action down in Clearwater. And we'll see. Maybe we can do that on Tuesday evening following a Pirate victory against the Rice Owls on Tuesday afternoon, or Wednesday evening will work well. Also, because if the Pirates take care of business against Rice, they will not play again until Thursday.
No doubt. Both. Hey, we'll take it any way we can get it. And appreciate everybody tuning in to all season long to pgxgloves.com for extra innings. And obviously, we'll have that for you next week as well. Bubba, I know the great thing about the show is we're everywhere on social media.
We are on X, formerly Twitter. You can find us at The Sports OBJ on Instagram and TikTok at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel as we're approaching 1,200 subscribers on YouTube. And whether it's on X or Facebook, definitely check out our pinned poster on each of those platforms. And what you'll find is information about Home Field. Home Field is an apparel company based out of Indianapolis. They have over 150 different NCAA schools that they have apparel for. Excellent line of product for the Pirates. Some of those include the items you see on the screen there for our viewers, the Script Pirates hoodie. They also have a t-shirt exactly like that hoodie. You have the vintage Pirate from the 70s with the East Carolina Pirates circling it. And then you have the modern mark of the Jolly Roger mark with the ECU on the Pirate cap that came into existence back in 2014. So you have that no quarter shirt, and then there's several other sharp East Carolina items on, again, homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code TSO at checkout. Get 15% off your order.
And we told you about pgxgloves.com. My kids, actually, Alexander Bubba, was wearing his batting gloves from PGX Gloves on Friday night. Tough outing as we lost the game, but Alex did very well. He got a walk and a base hit, and he was using his gloves from pgxgloves.com. So thanks to Mark Minakazi. Kaz has been great to us basically since maybe the start of the show or year after. He's been with us every step of the way, so we appreciate his support of the program.
Yep, and again, the Pirates return to action Tuesday, May 21st, approximately 12:31 p.m., depending on how long that Wichita State UAB game, where first pitch is 9 a.m. in those games up until the championship, will be televised on the ESPN Plus platform. The championship will be at noon on Sunday, should the Pirates make it there, which we plan on happening. That is a noon first pitch on ESPN News. So, Dave, that's about all I have.
Okay.
Well, one other thing that I realize I have not mentioned is the Pirates have received several commitments in basketball over the last few days. Oh, yeah. And we've aligned some interviews with those commitments. And so stay tuned for those. I mean, guys like Travion LeBeau, and then also from a couple weeks ago, at least, Julian Samaro, transfer from Gardner-Webb.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Appreciate that for you doing that behind the scenes, Bubba. Thank you so much for a huge show tonight. A lot of people watching and listening, thank you to it. It's been a great, great show. And thanks to our great guest, man, Mully is the best. We like him a lot and appreciate all he does off the field and on the field as far as the broadcasting and, of course, his work at DH Conley as well. Thank you, Bubba. Appreciate it very much. At Bubba Rosenbaum on X, and I'm at Richmond David on X if you want to hit us up and follow us. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks to everybody. In fact, we'll get out of here. Appreciate pgxgloves.com as our sponsor for extra innings right here on The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by pgxgloves.com on The Sports Objective. Join us again next Sunday night as we will again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow The Sports Objective on social media. It can be found at The Sports OBJ on X at The Sports Objective on Instagram and TikTok. Like and follow the show on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe, be sure to click the notification bell and all so you're alerted on your device anytime we go live or upload new content. As always, we appreciate you watching and listening to the show. Go Pirates!